The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Amateur Traveler Podcast, Episode 47.
Welcome to the Amateur Traveler Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Today in the show, we go to Las Vegas. This episode is brought to you by HotelBook.com. For your next trip to Las Vegas, visit HotelBook.com for rates of up to 30% off. I have one news story for you today, and it comes from TravelZoo, which is a travel newsletter. TravelZoo recently signed up their 10 millionth subscriber, and to celebrate, they are sending their 10 millionth subscriber, Mr. Matthew Wagner, on a trip of a lifetime to outer space. His suborbital spaceflight will take place in 2008, but he's already joined the chairman and CEO of TravelZoo on a zero-gravity preparation flight over Cape Canaveral. Links to that in the show notes. I've been planning on doing a show on Las Vegas for quite some time, but Tuesday morning of this week, I had a chance to fly to Las Vegas for a meeting with one of the executives from eBay China, who was in for the eBay's eBay Live show, which was being conducted this week at the Mandalay Bay Hotel or the Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas. So I thought that I would use this as an opportunity to take some more pictures. I'll take some video of Vegas that I'll put into the video edition of the Amateur Traveler Podcast sometime in the next couple weeks. And I thought we'd talk about Las Vegas. I was planning on doing a sightseeing tour, but one of the problems I ran into was there were something like 30 mile an hour winds in Las Vegas, or that's what it felt like, so all of the sounds that I was recording outside, which was the bulk of the sounds, didn't really come out well enough to use them, so we'll do that some other time. If you haven't been to Las Vegas, let me try and give you some impression of why Las Vegas is different from any other place you're going to run into on the planet. I have a friend who lives in Las Vegas, and I had a chance to have dinner with her on Tuesday night as she's driving me back to the airport to catch a flight back to San Jose. She said, one of the things that's different about living in Las Vegas is when you ask people what their occupation is, you never know quite what they're going to say. And I said, oh, can you give me an example? And she said, well, contortionist, for instance. She also said that one of their neighbors has a full-scale trapeze set taking up their backyard. Probably somebody who works for Circus Circus and basically is a trapeze performer. Or somebody who works for one of the Cirque du Soleil shows. You just never know. The other thing that I thought that was a little different is there were ads on a number of the advertisements for Dan Marino's new restaurant. And the ads said, Dan Marino's new elegant dining experience in the Hooters Casino. And that's apparently the upscale hotel, the upscale restaurant, rather, in the Hooters Casino is Dan Marino's elegant dining experience. That's kind of a Vegas moment also. The other thing to understand about Las Vegas is it's large. It's really, really, really large. I found an article on About.com that lists the 20 largest hotels in the world. 17 of them are in Las Vegas. One of my coworkers learned that the eBay Live event was going to be in Las Vegas last year, and she very quickly made her reservations at the Hilton, which is by the convention center in Las Vegas, only to be completely disappointed because the eBay Live event wasn't at that convention center, because there are several convention centers on the Strip. And this event happened to be at the Mandalay Bay, as I mentioned, which is the third largest hotel in the world, with 4,341 total hotel rooms. So we had, they were staying in room 3,200 something, and they said, no, that's not the 32nd floor room something or other, that's the third floor room 200 something or other. The other interesting thing to understand about this hotel, which will give you a view of a lot of different Vegas hotels, I was talking to somebody at the show, and they described this very wonderfully bizarre experience where they checked into the hotel, and they went away with their ID and their driver's license and their credit card, and they came back in about 5 minutes and said, would you mind if we upgraded you to a penthouse suite? Well, certainly not. So they were upgraded to a penthouse suite, which had a jacuzzi, had two flat-screen TVs. They looked at the back of the door to see what the rack rate was for the room, and it was $5,000 a night. And I was very impressed by that, so I was telling this to my coworker, who were staying in a nice hotel room, but it looked a lot like a hotel room. It could have been in a nice hotel anywhere. And they said, we'll check out what the room rate is for this hotel room. And this regular hotel room went from $300 a night to $3,000 a night. So one thing to know about Las Vegas is it is not the cheap place it used to be. If you've heard stories of Las Vegas where gambling supported everything, hotel rooms were cheap, food was cheap, shows were cheap, that's not the Las Vegas of today. Certainly there are bargains, and hotelbook.com, for instance, our sponsor, will point you at some of the smaller hotels that will give you a better deal, but those associated with a hotel, many of them are with the casinos, many of them are very expensive. And they're particularly expensive on occasions like New Year's, and that's when that hotel room is going to be $3,000 a night or something like that. And that hotel will be packed. It will be booked completely. All 4,000 whatever number of rooms will be booked. There's no way I'm going to cover all about Las Vegas in a single show, so let's start with the basics. The main part of Las Vegas that most people have heard of is Las Vegas Boulevard, but you probably heard of it as the Strip. And the Strip is a street that runs north to south in Las Vegas, and most of the major hotels are on the Strip. So 17 of the top 20 hotels, I'll be willing to bet almost all of those, if not all of those, are on the Strip. The Southern Hotel on the Strip currently, as it we'll get back to later, would be the one that this convention was at, the Mandalay Bay Hotel, and the Northern Hotel on the Strip would probably be the Stratosphere, which includes the large tower, which has a view of Las Vegas. I think that's where we'd have to say the Strip ends. There are other hotels elsewhere, the Rio and some other well-known ones, but most of the hotels are on the Strip. The Hilton is set back a little from it by the other convention center, where very large conventions like NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, are. And then there's also a area in downtown Las Vegas, especially Fremont Street, which in the Fremont Street Experience, which is a separate area. And again, there are hotels everywhere, there is gambling everywhere, there's casinos everywhere, there are slot machines in the airport. So that's the first thing you notice when you get to Las Vegas. The other thing you notice when you get to Las Vegas, if you get there like I do, when it's not all that busy, because one small convention, like eBay Live, does nothing to fill up the city of Las Vegas. And you see in the size of the security lines and how much roped-off area there is, and the taxi queues and such, just how many people they can fit into Las Vegas at one time. They're used to handling crowds. They're used to handling large crowds. As you can imagine, 17 of the top 20 hotels in the world, all in one location, that's a lot of people. So how are you going to get around Las Vegas? The Las Vegas airport is one of the closest airports to where the hotels are than you're likely to find. It's a very quick cab ride from the airport to the southern end of the Strip, especially. Quick still meaning, you know, $11 to $15, but it doesn't take very long to get there in a shuttle, a cab, or that sort of transportation. You can get a rental car, especially if you're going to get out of the city, because there is abundant parking, predominantly free parking in Las Vegas, but you don't necessarily need a rental car. To get around between, if you want to go along the strip, it's quite long. My legs are still a little sore today, but you can walk it. Be advised, though, if you're traveling in the summertime, it's going to be hot. It's going to be very hot. If your definition of hot isn't over 100 degrees, then you might think about doing something other than walking in summertime. And whatever you do, if you're walking around Las Vegas, bring water. There are also shuttles. There's the Deuce, which is a relatively inexpensive bus which runs up and down the strip, $2 for a trip, $5 for the whole day. There's also a new monorail which runs from the MGM Grand all the way up to the Hilton Hotel, which is ridiculously expensive. It's $5 one way, and I think you can buy a whole day's trip for $40, so just avoid it. There's just really no point in taking the monorail. And don't confuse that with the shorter monorail, which goes just to the Mandalay Bay, the Luxor, and the Excalibur, which is free. So let's talk about the hotels. Unlike a lot of other places where you stay in hotels and visit other things, in Las Vegas, the places that most people tend to spend most of their times are the big hotel casinos. I won't attempt to try and cover all of them on this particular podcast. I'll have to do another show later on with more on Vegas. But we'll start in the Strip, and we'll start at the south part at the Mandalay Bay, which since that's where I was. Each of the hotels has a different theme. At least most of the new hotels are built thematically. And the Mandalay Bay, the theme is Malaysia. And there are palm trees, there's a 20,000 gallon fish tank in the lobby, there's a Mandalay Beach, and I'll put some pictures in of that, and the Mandalay Beach is the pool area, but it also includes a lazy river and a wave pool and such, quite a large beach area. There is also in the pedestrian walkway that you would walk up to Mandalay Bay, which I don't think hardly anyone does. There are waterfalls and temples and a rope bridge, and so that's all part of the theme of the Mandalay Bay, is this exotic tropical location. Very nice hotel, very fancy, very modern looking. Like all of the other hotels, once you get into the casino of this hotel, it is a perpetual twilight. I haven't seen at any of the Vegas hotels I've been to, or at least none that I recall, a well-lit casino. Casinos are dark, they have no clocks on the walls, and the idea is that you have no idea what time it is. Many of these hotels, and the Mandalay Bay is no exception, also make it somewhat bewildering in terms of navigating and getting around, especially once you get in the casino, it's not always easy to find your way out again. And when I say hotel and casino, you may not have the right mental picture if you haven't been to Las Vegas. So think of mall, basically half a dozen different restaurants, plus then places where you can get snacks, plus the casino, plus shops. That's really the way that most of these casino, restaurant, hotel combinations are. The idea is that once you get there, if you stay there, you shouldn't have to leave for any reason whatsoever. Think small town, really, is what we're talking about at this point. The Mandalay Bay, when it's full, is about 8 times the size of the town that my father grew up in eastern Colorado. Currently south in the Mandalay Bay, you'll see nothing but souvenir shops offering wedding advice. I kid you not, I'll put a picture of that in the show notes. But north of Mandalay Bay is where we'll start the rest of the strip, and north of Mandalay Bay is the Luxor Hotel. The Luxor Hotel, with 4,408 rooms, is the world's second largest hotel. And you probably already would recognize this one. It's a pyramid. It looks like an Egyptian pyramid, and Egyptian is the theme, with the Sphinx sitting outside that the tram or the monorail will pull into from the Mandalay Bay, and Egyptian statues guarding the entrance. One of the things that I like about the Luxor Hotel, of these new amazing modern resorts is that as you do go inside the casino, it's open to the inside of this pyramid, and so it actually feels more spacious than a lot of the other casinos. It's still twilight. It is in all of these. It's still dark, but it is at least a little more open and inviting, I think, because of that. I have eaten at the buffet in the basement of the, or the lower levels of the Luxor Hotel, and I can recommend it. It wasn't inexpensive, but it certainly provided a good array of good food. So that is one that I would recommend of the various buffets, though Rio is also one that we enjoyed, which is off the strip. Just north of the Luxor Hotel is the Excalibur Hotel. The theme of this castle-like hotel is King Arthur, and you may see King Arthur greeting you as you come in the door. You'll see knights in shining armor, or at least pictures of them. But the other thing you'll see in the Excalibur is it's a little past its prime. Excalibur is going to be a little less expensive than the Luxor and the Mandalay Bay. It's a little older hotel. You'll see more kids there. They have arcades and such. They have a food court that's more kid-oriented. Now, I would never say that Las Vegas was, as they tried to pretend for some time, a family vacation. For me, it's something about the, as you're walking along the strip and people are handing you flyers for the strippers or hookers to come to your hotel room, that says to me that we're really not exactly talking Disneyland here, and it never was, but it pretended to be for a while. So I think their current motto of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is at least more accurate in terms of what to expect when you go to Vegas. Just north of the Excalibur, you'll see the Brooklyn Bridge, the Statue of Liberty, and the New York skyline that mark the New York New York Hotel. New York, New York is an interesting hotel. It's one of several different hotels now that inside basically offer what looks to be a street scenes, and in this case, an idealized New York City streets with trees and appropriate New York food, and of course, a casino, strangely enough. And you'll also find ESPN Zone in the New York New York Hotel, as several of the casinos now are adding in more traditional entertainment experiences. In and amongst the skyline outside, you'll also see a Coney Island-style roller coaster, although it wasn't running or didn't seem to be running when I was there yesterday. And across the street from the New York New York is the world's largest hotel, the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino. With its 9 restaurants, 2 food courts, and 5,690 guest rooms. You'll also find live lions inside, a pride of lions. You'll find the Rainforest Cafe and an interesting bar where the barkeeps were dancing on the bar. Further north still, we come to the Monte Carlo Hotel and Casino. Not a lot to say about the Monte Carlo. And then we also come to the remains of the boardwalk. And this is something that I wanted to mention, and I made allusions to it earlier. Vegas is constantly changing. Whatever hotels I tell you are there today may be gone tomorrow. I remember reading that a Las Vegas hotel and casino can be paid for or paid off in a surprisingly short period of time, a matter of a few years. And so Vegas is constantly rebuilding itself with new hotels and new venues. So as you pass at this point right now, there is a remains or ruins of this old hotel and soon to be replaced with something else. On the other side of the remains of the Boardwalk Hotel and Casino, you come to the Bellagio, the resort. And Bellagio certainly was made famous by Ocean's 11. Bellagio is also most well known in Vegas, probably for its fountain show outside, although on a particularly windy day like I was, the fountain show won't happen, but on the half hour, the fountains in front of the Bellagio will belie the fact that Vegas is built in a desert and show you why, of all the cities in the United States, Vegas consumes more water than anywhere else. But the Bellagio also, at this time, has a exhibit of model trains and sort of a model version of the Bellagio and other things with inside. I also liked the ceiling in the Bellagio in the lobby, and I'll put a picture of it in the show notes, of this brightly colorful glass flowers is what I'd have to say. And I ran into somebody having a wedding in the Bellagio, and it's not uncommon to run into somebody having a wedding any place in Vegas. And the Mandalay Bay had a wedding chapel out by the pool, even. I want to cover some other topics, so let's skip a bit. As you go north from there, the three hotels that I would point out to you that are probably my favorite just for going in and walking around, even if you're staying someplace less expensive, that would be Caesar's Palace, which, although it's been there for some time, the Forum Shops and some of the things they've done with Caesar's Palace have kept it fresh. The Venetian and the Paris Las Vegas. Both of those last two provide a wonderful little inside cityscape, again, in the perpetual twilight of Las Vegas. Same with the Caesar's Palace Forum Shops. But a wonderful little experience for those of you who don't want to spend all your time gambling and want to spend your money shopping instead. Now let's talk entertainment. There's a lot of different entertainment options available in Las Vegas. Some of it free and some of it not. So let's start with the not free. All of the various large casinos have different shows available, and sometimes those shows represent the character of that particular hotel and casino, and maybe sometimes they don't. So, for example, the Excalibur Hotel provides jousting as its show at night, while the Mandalay Bay has Mamma Mia, the musical, and for some reason the Luxor has Carrot Top, who apparently is Egyptian. And the hottest shows would include the Blue Man Group at the Venetian and Celine Dion, who is still sold out months in advance, I believe, at Caesar's Palace. The set of shows playing in Vegas is obviously constantly changing, so I'll put a link up to an entertainment guide, a web-based entertainment guide that you can check out. But here are some of the names that are going to be playing in Vegas. Hall & Oates, Reba McEntire, Kenny G, Johnny Mathis, Def Leppard, Journey, Counting Crows, The Go-Go's, Styx, Pink, Ringo Starr, and the All-Star Band, The Beach Boys, Blues Traveler, you get the basic idea. You'll also find Cirque du Soleil, comedians galore, magicians like Lance Burton, of course Wayne Newton, and this being Las Vegas, also known as Sin City, a variety of adult entertainment. There are also attractions. Both the Stratosphere as well as Circus Circus offer carnival rides, little roller coasters and such. Stratosphere very high up in the air in a very scary fashion. And then my favorite attraction, probably, which speaks to the nerd in me, would be the Star Trek experience at the Hilton Hotel, which, while not inexpensive, was actually very well done. In terms of saving money, one thing, if you haven't been there before, you might think about joining the casino's frequent gambler programs. Even if you're not a frequent gambler, you may be able to get some coupons for saving money either on buffets or on the first game at a particular table if you're a gambler. So check into that if you do plan to gamble, especially if it's your first time. Also, if all your money has run out, besides the fountains at Bellagio, you can watch the volcano erupt at the Mirage. You can watch the pirates attack ships at Treasure Island. You can watch the gondoliers at the Venice, which also has street performers and living statues. Caesar's Forum Palace has a audio animatronic show called Bacchus's Statues, which, while cheesy, is also free. Circus Circus provides free circus acts performing daily, which, again, are kind of cheesy. And then if you get to downtown, there are a lot of musicians at night on the Fremont Street Experience, and then every day on the hour after dusk, there is a light show which is synchronized with music, which is worth seeing if you happen to be in the area. Don't forget the Lions at the MGM. And then I'll put a link in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com to a guide to Vegas on 25 cents a day, which includes free things to eat and cheap things to do. There's also, I understand, gambling in Vegas. Although I am not myself a big gambler, I can spend about $5 on video poker, keep busy for a while, and then that's about it for my limit, because I don't like to lose. But clearly the gambling is what's funding much of what's in Vegas. And there are all sorts of games, everything you can bet on, from betting on sports, clearly, to the slots, to poker, to paigao, to keno, to roulette, and many other things in between. Even not being a big gambler, I'll have to say I enjoy Vegas, and it comes as a bit of a surprise to me, because my first experience with Vegas was Comdex, the big computer show that used to be done in Vegas, probably in 1991. And at that point, Vegas was not the way it looks now, and with the big theme resorts, and it was a little sleazier and a little dirtier and not as interesting, probably. And I didn't think I would ever go back to Vegas, but we had an exchange student, as I've mentioned, Yavuz, who stayed with us for almost a year from Turkey. And we asked him at one point, where in the whole country do you want to go? Thinking he might say New York City or wherever, and we were actually thinking we'd get on a plane and take him there, and he said, Las Vegas. Now, he was only 18 years old. He couldn't gamble. He was Muslim, and even if he was old enough, he wouldn't be able to gamble anyway. But he just really wanted to see Vegas. And seeing him with his picture taken with a Elvis on the street, or with his head in the stocks of the Excalibur, probably is one of the reasons why I enjoy Vegas more now than I did before. We spent 3 days there with another friend, Mark, especially offering us tour guide services on the first day. Mark, who knows Vegas better than I do. And I do find that there are things to do in Vegas. There are shows to go to. We went to see Steve Warwick, who was a magician there at the time, who made a whole Hummer disappear, and that was even before gas was at $3 a gallon. And we also got out to the Red Rocks area, which is a park outside of town, to climb on the rocks, which is something that's also enjoyable in the area. Now, I probably missed your favorite show, your favorite restaurant, or even your favorite hotel at Las Vegas. So feel free to comment on this as any show on the show notes. I'd be interested to know what you find is your favorite part of Las Vegas, or maybe why you'll never go back again. Stay tuned in the next couple weeks for a video edition, not of the exact same information here. The video edition, in fact, probably won't have narration, but will have just video of walking through the various casinos and what's to see there. Things like the spiral escalator at Caesar's Palace or some of the other odd things about Vegas. Check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com for other resources about Las Vegas. I'll put up some other links there as well. Welcome to all the people who found the Amateur Traveler through the iTunes featuring me this week. Some of the shows that should be coming up will be Southern California, Antarctica, and Tanzania, as I head there in 3 weeks. Tanzania, not Antarctica. The one-year anniversary of Amateur Traveler is coming up. July 9th is the date I see on the website as the time that I've hosted the first episode of the Amateur Traveler podcast. Since then, this is the 47th episode, as I mentioned at the beginning, and the last 45 episodes have come out weekly. The next few weeks may prove a little more challenging to that. I'm not sure what my internet connection will be like in Africa, but I'm still planning on recording some shows, even if I don't put them up until later. Please feel encouraged to vote for the show if you like it at Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, Yahoo Podcasts, or wherever else podcasts are listed, reviewed, or promoted. And tell your friends. And thanks for listening. This episode was brought to you by HotelBooka.com, which features 20 unique and independent hotels in Las Vegas and over 5,000 worldwide in more than 140 countries. Visit HotelBook.com to see the latest destination deals in Las Vegas with rates from $58 a night. Whether it's a resort, a cabana, or a castle, HotelBook.com invites you to stay your way and stay independent.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.